Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, text numbers 40-41. Tatkatyam chatalam kliptam.
Tatkatyam chatalam kliptam.
Gurubhyam vitalam vibho.
Gurubhyam vitalam vibho.
Janubhyam sutalam shudham.
Janubhyam sutalam shudham.
Janghabhyam tutalatalam.
Janghabhyam tutalatalam.
Mahatalam tugulphabhyam. Prapadhabhyam swasatalam. Patalam paratalata. Iti loka maya puman. Tat. In his. Katyam. Waste. Cha. Also. Atalam. The first planetary system.
Below the earth.
Kliptam.
Situated.
Urubhyam. On the thighs. Vitalam.
The second planetary system below.
Vibho. Of the Lord. Janubhyam.
On the ankles.
Sutalam. The third planetary system below. Shudham.
Purified.
Janghabhyam. On the joints.
Tu.
Talatalam.
The fourth planetary system below.
Mahatalam.
The fifth planetary system below.
Tu.
Gulfabhyam.
Situated on the calves.
Papadhabhyam.
On the upper or front portion of the feet. Rasatalam. The sixth planetary system below. Patalam. The seventh planetary system below. Padatalataha. On the bottom or soles of the feet.
Iti.
Thus. Lokamayaha.
Full of planetary systems.
Bhuman. The Lord. My dear son Narada, know from me that there are 7 lower planetary systems out of the total 14. The first planetary system, known as Atala, is situated on the waist. The second, Vitala, is situated on the thighs. The third, Shutala, on the knees. The fourth, Talatala, on the shanks. The fifth, Mahatala, on the ankles. The sixth, Rasatala, on the upper portion of the feet. And the seventh, Paatala, on the soles of the feet. Thus, the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. Purport. Modern enterprises, the astronauts who travel in space, may take information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in space there are 14 divisions of planetary systems. The situation is calculated from the earthly planetary system, which is called Bhurloka. Above Bhurloka is Bhuvaraloka, and the topmost planetary system is called Satyaloka. These are the upper 7 lokas or planetary systems. And similarly, there are 7 lower planetary systems known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala lokas. All these planetary systems are scattered over the complete universe, which occupies an area of 2 billion times 2 billion square miles. The modern astronauts can travel only a few thousand miles away from the Earth. And therefore this attempt And therefore, their attempt to travel in the sky is something like child's play on the shore of an expansive ocean. The moon is situated in the third status of the upper planetary system. And in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we shall be able to know the distant situation of the various planets scattered over the vast material sky. There are innumerable universes beyond the one in which we are put. And all these material universes cover only an insignificant portion of the spiritual sky, which is described above as Sanatan Brahma Loka. The Supreme Lord very kindly invites the intelligent human beings to return home back to Godhead. In the following verse of the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Avatana Arjuna Mamo Petyata Kunteya Punajamana Vidyate. Beginning from such a loka, the topmost planet of the universe, situated just below the eternal Brahma Loka as described above, all the planets are material. And one's situation in any of the many material planets is still subject to the laws of material nature, namely birth, death, old age and disease. But one can get complete liberation from all the above mentioned material pangs when one enters into the eternal Brahmaloka, Sanatana atmosphere, the kingdom of God. Therefore, liberation, as contemplated by the speculative philosophers and the mystics, is possible only when one becomes a devotee of the Lord. Anyone who is not a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only by attainment of a service attitude in the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of Godhead. Therefore, the speculative philosophers as well as the mystics must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. And I'm going to read the next verse because that'll finish the chapter. Text 42. Bhūloka kalpita padhyam bhuvāloko syanābhitaha svāloka kalpito mūrdhā iti vāloka kalpana. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions, namely the lower planetary systems on the legs up to the earth, the middle planetary systems on the navel, and the upper planetary systems, Svaraloka, from the chest to the head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: the three divisions of the complete planetary systems are here mentioned. 14 are imagined by others, and that is also explained. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Cause of All Causes. Ama gyanatimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kada mahiyam tadatti svapadantikam mukham karoti vachalam pangum langdhayate garim yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum. So this is pretty straightforward explanation of the planetary systems that exist below the Bhūloka. Above Bhūloka are the upper seven lokas. Topmost is Satyaloka, What are the planetary systems called below Bhurloka? Well, we know what they're called. No, but if the planets above are called Bhuvarloka, what is below Bhurloka? Speak up. Well, we know that. Yes, it says, we just read it. But Bhuvarloka means all of the seven above, isn't it? No, just Bhuvarloka. And then there's another one, another one, another one. Oh, I see. Okay, right, you go. And that what was described in the previous verse? Two verses, actually. Bhuvaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satchaloka, but there must be a couple of in between. Svaraloka. Right. So the first point that Prabhupada makes here is modern enterprises, the astronauts, who basically exploring the creation needn't waste their time. Right? We don't waste our time with such exploration. It's not necessary. There are more important things to do in life than, you know, the Chinese have just put a go-kart on the moon. This is a wonderful achievement. Right now they're up there with America, right? Wasted so much money, and now we've got another go-kart on the moon. If one wants to know what the situation is in the creation, then all one needs to do is take advantage of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Easy. All the information that we require to know about the material creation can be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Really. All that we need to know. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nigama Kalpa Taro Galit Tam Palam. It's the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. So, you know, that's the ripened fruit is the best. The mango, the ripened mango at the top of the tree is the best. Or the ripened mango at any part of the tree is the best. And most relishable. And within the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is information given about all of the different planetary systems. But exploring all of the planetary systems is not the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? You can get that, you know, in modern society, you know, the fact that one can put a go-kart on the moon is considered to be a very high achievement. Right? It's considered to be a very high achievement. But according to the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the living entities are moving around all over the creation all of the time. Right? Moving around all over the creation. Following the actions and reactions of their karma. So, you know, 1 minute in the lower planetary systems, another in the upper planetary systems. If they're fortunate, in the middle planetary systems, Bhuraloka, where the Earth is situated. But it's not such a wonderful thing, travelling around in the universe. Because one is trapped. Bhagavatam focuses on more essential elements of existence or features of existence, in that there is so much moving around within the whole of the planetary systems within the universe, but even though there's that moving around, they're still trapped. They're still prisoners, if you like. Prisoners of the laws of material nature, and the laws of material nature mean that we're all forced. Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. This is the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam see the fault or explain the faults very clearly of material existence. You may go to the higher planetary systems. You may go to the moon planet. But as Prabhupada points out, you can go to the moon planet, but you've got to come back. Right? You can't live in the moon planet. Actually, you can't live anywhere. Effectively, in the material creation, you can't live anywhere without being plagued by the realities of birth, death, old age and disease. Happiness is basically release from those sufferings. So even though one may go to the moon, well, now they don't go to the moon anymore. They just send a machine. They send a machine to Mars or whatever. Although, and I mentioned this the other day, they are contemplating that they're thinking of selling one-way tickets to Mars.
Yeah.
No, they haven't worked out a way how to get you back again. Want to colonise space, but you know, we're already colonizing the earth and we're doing the same things, right? What are we doing here? Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. We go to Mars and we do the same thing. What's the big deal? Really, you know, when you think about it, we go to the moon, what are we going to do? We're still going to celebrate Christmas, we're still going to celebrate New Year's. Right? And we're going to have to work. Right? Probably have to work harder. So what's the point? So the Bhagavatam focuses on essentials. Here's what the planet is. Here's what the universe looks like, basically. But it's not our goal to explore the material creation. Because the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita teach us what the end result of all that exploration is anyway. The exploration is, and really that's Bahiranga Shakti, just exploring the external energy. But more important, the Bhagavatam says, is to explore the Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy, that which lies within. There's more mystery and more depth to plumbing the oceans of, what do we have? The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like Prabhupada says here. All these planetary systems are scattered over the complete universe, which occupies an area of 2 billion times 2 billion square miles. Huge. Huge. So how are they going to be able to explore it anyway, effectively? It's so big. So then Prabhupada says, the modern astronauts can travel only a few thousand miles away from the Earth. A few thousand miles, 30,000. When the universe is 2 billion times 2 billion. So they go a few 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 miles. So their attempt, Prabhupada says here, their attempt to travel in the sky is something like child's play on the shore of an expansive ocean. You know, when you go to the beach, you build sandcastles and and create, you know, your playground. And become completely absorbed in it, building it and constructing it, protecting it, the waves are coming in or whatever. You ever do that? Any do that at the beach when you were kids? You know, the parents say, come on, it's time to go home. No, 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 we're, you know, having too much fun at the beach. But in reality, you know, just playing at the beach is just playing at the beach. When you realise that it's time to go home, then you just go and kick everything to bits. Right? Build a big sandcastle, make it look really fantastic. But then when you know it's time to go home, you just kick it all down. Okay, they're going to go. So how much? And that's really, that's what our material existence is like. We create sandcastles, and then at the time of death, poof, all gone. Right? Castles made of sand fall into the sea eventually. You may or may not have heard this famous bit of poetry. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, put into the right, and this is the Bhagavad Gita's perspective. The Bhagavad Gita puts everything into the proper perspective. The Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, being the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, they put all of the material pursuits into the right perspective. It's just futile, really. It's like children playing on the shore of the ocean. That's how much we can explore the material creation. It is so vast. Yet we put so much emphasis is placed on going to the moon, for example, or going to Mars. But that's not all we need to do is actually take advantage of the Srimad Bhagavatam and put our activities, all of our material activities, into the proper perspective, and it can only be put in the proper perspective when we also add the exploration, if you like, of inner space. And the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a map. The Acharyas give us a map of how to chart, because that's the most difficult, in one sense, that's the most difficult journey to take. To not be enamored by the external energy, which we know is limited and temporary. Even if you go to the highest, even if you go to Satyaloka, it's still, you have to die. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punar Avatino Juna, and take birth again. And suffer the embarrassment of that bewilderment, because basically one is bewildered by all of these changes of body. One forgets who one really is. So the whole purpose of spiritual pursuits and that which is described in the Bhagavad Gita is to not forget who we are, ultimately to remember or to uncover our real identity. And that real identity is not as a resident of Patala Loka or a resident of Satya Loka or a resident of Bhur Loka or anywhere in between. That's not our identity, because that's always changing. But the Sanatan position, as Prabhupada explains, Sanatan Brahma Loka is the spiritual world. That's where our true identity exists. We actually have Prabhupada explains, Bhagavatam explains, we already have a position in the spiritual world. It's already there. But it's asleep. Right? Or we're asleep to the reality of our original spiritual position. And we need to wake up. So that's the message of the Bhagavatam. Don't worry too much. Okay, the material creation is like this, 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 and this. And the really important point is who creates it, or who conceives of it, and who puts it into place. And some details on how it's put in place. But that's all we need to know. We don't need to explore it. It's a waste of time. Our time and effort should be put into exploring the path back to the spiritual realm where everybody or everything exists without the embarrassment of birth, death, old age and disease. One situation in any of the many material planets is still subject to the laws of material nature, namely birth, death, old age and disease. But one can get complete liberation from all the above-mentioned material pangs when one enters into the eternal Brahmaloka Sanatana atmosphere, the kingdom of God. So that's the important, you know, if we want to know which planet or which loka we should be heading for, it shouldn't be any one of the material ones. Because it's puna avatino juna. Puna means what? Again. Again, take birth. Right? Again, cry. Basically, that's what happens. Right? And be an embarrassment to your mum and dad. Although the parents think, oh, goochie, goochie, goochie. And then what does the kid do? So, understanding that this is a place of suffering. It's not really a place of happiness. The happiness that we experience in the material world is just a small punctuation mark between all of the suffering. That in reality. And so one has to enter into the planet of above such a loka, the Sanatana Brahma loka, the spiritual world, where birth, death, old age and disease are conspicuous by their absence. That's the eternal realm. And one needs to come to the spiritual platform in order to do that. So therefore Krishna gives so many instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. How to act. How to see things in the right perspective, and then how to act so that your actions will be the same as the activities in the spiritual world. Because how can you enter into the spiritual world without, you know, being qualified? You need to be qualified. You need to be actually ready and able to act on the spiritual platform so that you can then enter into the spiritual realm. Not exploring the moon, the Mars, the this, that, the other thing. Just on the material platform. That's just a waste of time. It's a distraction. So the Bhagavad Gita, especially the Bhagavad Gita, teaches us, you know, here's the mentality, here's the activities that you need to learn in order to be acting on the spiritual platform. Even though it appears you're in Bhūloka or even, you know, lower planetary systems, or it doesn't matter actually. The nature of spiritual activity is that it transcends the material, regardless of what body, what species, whatever type of existence you happen to be in. If you can be engaged in pure spiritual activity, then that's your eligibility to then enter into the Sanatana Brahmaloka, the spiritual, the Vaikuntha realm, the spiritual. So that's the focus. That's the focus of the transcendentalists. That we need to learn how to, you know, this is why Krishna, you know, says to Arjuna, going to the forest is not going to help. Right? Because you will act. So renunciation, just renunciation on its own, is not good enough. Activity is required. And one has to learn how to engage spiritual activity. Because renunciation may very well come in due course of time. But just dry renunciation without some positive engagement is not useful. Or very often a distraction. Or shall we say, a show bottle. But, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the Bhagavad Gita teaches us what kind of action, what kind of mentality, what kind of attitude is required. Like Rupa Goswami says at the beginning of the, Prabhupada says at the beginning of the Nectar of Instruction, advancement is dependent upon the attitude of the practitioner. So this is what we need to learn. We need to learn what is the attitude and what are the activities of the residents of the spiritual realm. What do they do? So that we can act on that platform as well. And if we can then act on that platform in this lifetime, that means in the next lifetime we'll get the same opportunity to act again on the spiritual platform, only not in the material world, in the spiritual realm. Because as Krishna says, whatever you think of at that time of death, that's a state you will attain in the next. So if we're engaging in the Sanatan Dharma, which exists in the Sanatan Brahma Loka, the Sanatan Dharma, we learn that Dharma and act on that platform, then we can easily transcend, we can get out of the material world. And as we read in the Bhagavatam, on the way out we can see all of the planetary systems if we want to. Right? When Dhruva Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead, then he got to see all of the planet. You know, he got a ticket. A Gora Travels ticket. Huh? Actually, not a Gora Travels. Different travel agency. But if you want to, you can see all of the, you know, if you have the inquisitiveness. And it's not recommended to have the inquisitiveness, because if we're inquisitive, you may find yourself stuck in one of the planets, that's what happens. We're inquisitive to know what goes on in the material world, and that inquisitiveness keeps us stuck in the material world. So it's not recommended. Neither the liberation as conceived by the speculative philosophers and the mystics. That's not recommended either. Because Prabhupada says here, anyone who is not a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Really important point. This is why we need to learn the process of devotional service and apply the process of devotional service so that we can purely practice the same activities that we'll be doing in the spiritual world. You know, there's a Sankirtan party in the spiritual sky. And, you know, we have the unique opportunity of being in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party and in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Right? That's pretty far out, isn't it? Two for the price of one. Where everybody's looking for a bargain, aren't they? Huh? Oh, two for the price of one. Fantastic. I'll buy half a dozen, get 12. If it's cheap enough. So we're engaging in the Sankirtan movement, and that's our ticket to the spiritual world. That's how we purchase our ticket to go back home, back to Godhead, is by engaging in Sankirtan. That's what Lord Chaitanya taught us. And it's expanded upon by Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, the process of devotional service. So we learn how to serve Krishna by serving the deities and serving the devotees, and we're purified by those activities, but we're also purified by the Sankirtan. That's the rocket fuel, if you like, that enables us to overcome the gravitational force of material existence. You know, Maya is very strong and she's very attractive, isn't it? But more powerful than Maya's attractiveness is the attractiveness of Krishna and the attractiveness of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is so powerful that even Krishna, who is, you know, Parameshvara, he's the supreme controller, but even he's attracted and controlled by a pure devotional service. Krishna sees, Radharani's got a control over me. What? How's she able to do that? I'm the supreme controller, but she controls me. What's going on here? Huh? So even Krishna wants to be a devotee to find out what controls him. So powerful. That's what's in the Bhagavatam. Certainly that's what's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what's in the practice of devotional service. So that's why Bhagavatam deals with that inner cultivation of attitude and action, so that we can get out of the material world and reside in the Sanatana Dharma, not this place. It's attractive in that it's the creation of the Lord, right? The material world is attractive, isn't it? Who's not attracted to the material world here? Raise your hands. Well, there are aspects of it that we don't like, but there are many aspects that we do like. Partly because, or predominantly because, they're a reflection of what exists in the spiritual world anyway. Everything that we like, not everything we like, but yeah, but most everything we like in the material world has its prototype, if you like, in the spiritual realm. So, you know, liberation as conceived by the speculative philosophers and the mystics is not attractive to the transcendentalists, to the pure transcendentalists, the pure students of the Bhagavad philosophy. Because that kind of liberation isn't actually liberation as it's explained in the Bhagavatam. You have to come back down again into the material world. Real liberation is when one can fully enter into the spiritual sky as a resident of the spiritual atmosphere on the spiritual planets and be engaged in devotional service there. So that's why we need to engage in devotional service here. So that when somebody comes and asks us to do some service, we know what to do. Right? Here we get trained up. This is where we get trained up to engage in devotional service. Devotional service very much in practice. But ideally, we come to the spontaneous Raganuga platform of devotional service even in this lifetime. That's the goal. So Prabhupada says here, very importantly, only by attainment of a service attitude, right? Anyone who is not a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you need to have that service attitude to be allowed in, entrance. Only by attainment of a service attitude in the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of God. Transcendental position means what? Service attitude on the transcendental position. What does that mean? Yes, above the three modes. Can you be more specific? That's more advanced than what I was thinking. What's required? What is the service attitude that's required? Without? What was that last couple of words you said? Yes, no material desires, or as is mentioned by Rupa Goswami, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam. So, no desires for speculative, impersonal understanding, and no fruitive desires. In other words, it's pure devotional service. Devotional activities with a desire to please Krishna, a desire to please Krishna's devotees. So, only by attainment of a service attitude in the transcendental position. Because, you know, you can be doing service and want something, right? When you go to work, who's got a job? Hands up those who've got a job. Do you like your job? Huh? Hands up those who like their job. I've discovered there are people who actually like their jobs. Nobody here likes their job. So what to speak of if they didn't pay you? If they didn't pay you, then you wouldn't go to work. Definitely not. Right, so there is such a thing as service with a result in mind. But the transcendental position is the devotee knows that Krishna will look after them, so he doesn't care about the result. In devotional service, what is the result? Anybody like to say? What's the result of devotional service? Huh? Yeah, but then what happens? Huh? Yeah, more service. Huh? Oh, no, not more service. How can you keep on giving me more service? I thought I'd already done enough for today. Maybe, because, you know, we have material bodies and they need a rest. Material bodies need a rest, spiritual bodies don't. That's why we admire and aspire to being like we admire the residents of the spiritual realm and we aspire to be like them because their bodies don't have any material limitations. Right? Which is why we honour and respect such personalities like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada and others on their Anubhav? Tirubhav. Yeah, Tirubhav. Mahotsava, the festival of their disappearance and their appearance. Because they demonstrated this service attitude, the attainment of the service attitude. One of the reasons why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was disappointed with his disciples, because he could see the service attitude was motivated by some material consideration. Who's going to have the biggest room in the mutt? Right? He's quiet all the time until he came here, right? Or he wants to preach. Huh? So the material motivation was mixed into the devotional service, and that wasn't pleasing to the spiritual master. Right? G'day, mate. How's it going? He smiles like his brother. Only his cheeks are still pretty chubby. Actually, they're probably going to look identical, I reckon. So, we need to be attracted to the, you know, we study the description of the material creation so that we can understand the greatness of God, if you like, and the greatness of God. It's important that we understand these points, lest we become too familiar later on when we're studying the other aspects of the Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto. We have to keep in mind that our devotional service, you know, until we're on that level, we have to keep a very respectful attitude, a respectful attitude of devotional service. Not, you know, the gopis are in a position to argue with Krishna and to tell Krishna what to do, right? Because of their very intimate and deep affection and love and pure devotion for Krishna. But until we reach that stage, we need to cultivate this understanding of God is great. That predicates, you know, this the attitude of service. But we and so that helps us to you know, to have the right attitude, to cultivate the right understanding and the right attitude, so that our devotional service will make us eligible to enter into these, as Tithapada said, into the various rasas, the various relationships that one can exchange with Krishna. But this is all dependent upon the proper service attitude. So the Bhagavatam really concentrates on that. How to have the proper service attitude. One of them is to appreciate the wonderful, the potencies of parasya shakti vivadhaiva sruyate svabhaviki jnana balach kriyacha, to understand how all of the potencies of the Lord work and how they act in orchestration in a orchestrated fashion. That's important, but that's to bring us ultimately to this point of service. Because it's the service attitude and the service action that qualifies us to enter into the spiritual realm. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted, what Srila Prabhupada wanted, what they hoped us would achieve. Especially, you know, Srila Prabhupada translated the Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, Bhagavad Gita, so that we could learn this attitude, this service attitude. Rupa Goswami, the various acharyas. So Prabhupada says, you know, we need to be attracted to the devotional cult in order to attain liberation. And you know, cult means what? Cultivation, culture, cult. It's not a bad word. So that's what we're here. That's the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the Hare Krishna movement, is to make a change in the misdirected lives of this current civilization. They think great achievement is to go to the moon. Right? And the devotees think, oh, how many times have we been to the moon already? Right? We don't want to go back to the moon. Right? That's back to birth, death, old age and disease. What's the good of that? You can even go to Brahma Loka, because they don't even think... This is the interesting thing. They can't see Brahma Loka. Well, it doesn't exist. But this is the empiricist. They have to be able to measure things empirically. Get the length, breadth and depth of it whole thing. But the devotee's not dependent on that kind of instruction. We're dependent on the instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches us of the transcendent realm that actually can't be approached by material processes. To get into the spiritual world, there is no material process. It is all purely spiritual. So we have to learn the pure spiritual activity, the concepts, the language, the demeanor, all of those things. We need to learn. That's why we study the Bhagavad Gita. Here to learn the creation. But later on, we're exposed to the activities and the behavior of the devotees. Other aspects of the creation, which are more important as the Bhagavatam develops. And so in that sense, the Lord and his representatives are inviting us. Wake up to who you really are, and act on that spiritual, on the transcendental, on the spiritual platform. Then you'll be eligible to, see all of the material and spiritual creations. Actually, basically do whatever you like. That's a good thing. Chintamani prakara sat. What is it? The spiritual world is made of spiritual gems and wish-fulfilling trees, right? Kalpa Vriksha. So whatever you want, you can get it in the spiritual world. Whatever you want to do, you can get it by becoming a devotee and entering into that spiritual, the spiritual playground. Right? Like one time a devotee was, approaching Prabhupada, asking him questions, and Prabhupada was asking, what do you want to do for Krishna? So we get to say, like we think surrender means we just give up everything, but it's not like that. We also have an opportunity in surrendering to Krishna. Yes, we surrender, but we also get a chance to do what we like to do too. It's not all struggle. Oh, no, I've got to get up. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. There's a point where in our devotional service, will Krishna say, what do you want to do? Okay, let's do it. So all of our desires, this is why we offer our respects to the devotees. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha, kripa sindubhya evacha. They're an ocean of mercy because they can fulfill all of our desires. That's why we offer our respects to the devotees. They can teach us the process by which we go back home, back to God, but they also teach us the process by which we can fulfill all of our desires. But those desires are not selfish. Right? They're spiritually purified. But that doesn't mean that we lose our identity. No. We uncover and establish our real spiritual identity as a result of following this process. And that identity is part of that Sanatana Brahmaloka, the Sanatana Dharma, engaged in Sanatana Dharma. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any of these points? We are now. Is the sloka writer here today? Now? Who's in the sloka? Outside. Can you tell him we're going to start chapter 6, text 1? Tomorrow. Is that all right? please do the vote. Chinese. We can crack jokes about it though. Yeah. Anything else? Let them believe what they like. Ultimately, they're knocking on death's door. So you know, like Prabhupada says, you can tell them it's like a man flying a kite on the roof. Have you heard that story? You tell him, hey, careful, you'll fall off. But he's too absorbed in flying his kite. He doesn't notice he's about to fall off the roof. So it's a stupid thing. You know, what they're doing is pretty stupid, but we'll let them do it. We'll let them think they're doing it.
And you said, it is amazing how each and every individual story is being warned by doctors.
Warned.
We are all watched very carefully. Also,
watched or warned?
Yeah. Watched.
Watched. W-A-T-C-H.
Yeah.
Yeah, watched.
And we have got a mind independence.
Yeah.
The Lord has given.
Yep.
And therefore we have to see Guru Parashya.
Yeah.
Shelter of the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master.
Mm.
That is the only way, as you said.
The only way. Yeah. Yeah, we need to. Yeah, Prabhupada is teaching us the process of getting into the spiritual world.
Yeah, therefore, we all have been told by Prabhupada, and it's a big cessation. So we have to preach this to everyone.
Preach, yes, that's important. Yep.
Once we have got the knowledge, we all have to
distribute it. How are you going to do that?
By teaching books.
Yeah. And chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty simple. Not difficult.
More temples.
More temples, yeah.
Because we can have a session. A session is the most important thing.
What's more important than temples? Preaching. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur demonstrated or said that, you know, because he saw his disciple, they had temples, you know. He said, we were happier when we just had a little preaching center and no temple. Because we were engaged in service. But then as soon as they got the temple, then the devotees started squabbling over who was going to be where. Who's going to be the top dog. The only problem is top dog means, you know, another birth in the material world. Even in the temple, even the in-temple environment, one has to be careful about those things. Yeah. Yes, preaching. What's the best preaching? Huh?
Example.
Yes, example. Best, as Prabhupada says, a man who smokes can't teach others how to not smoke. Is that right?
Yes.
Don't smoke cigarettes. So, example, we should be setting. So, the society of devotees should be setting a perfect example of devotional practice. Right? Of humility. Right? Not, I'm the most advanced devotee, step aside, serve me first. Right? I can push to the front of the queue and get the prasadam because I'm a devotee. And you're all not devotees. That's called Kanishta. Prakriti Bhakta. He thinks he's the best devotee. But actually, an advanced devotee says, no, you're a better devotee than me, you go first. Even if he is a better devotee, he says, you're a better devotee than me. Not serve me first. Serve me first mentality is wrong. How's that sound? I hear there's people always pushing in. Not always pushing in. Actually, I see it myself. They push past me too, and I tap them on the shoulder and I say, you're not pushing in, are you? Oh, no, Prabhu, I'm not pushing in. Okay, get behind me. I'm in the line at least. And you know, as a temple president, I could go to the front of the line every time if I wanted to. But I don't, because I think, you know, we should be setting an example. Sometimes I do, because, you know, also there's necessity. But if we want to set a good example, then, you know, okay, you're hungry. Well, don't push in front of everybody, but make another arrangement. Go to the kitchen before it's all served and get a plate. If you're so hungry. But, you know, how many people died of starvation in the Melbourne temple? Huh? Anybody seen any skeletons on the way to the prasadam? If we die of, you know, if we're going to, we're more likely to die of diabetes or something, something like that, than, you know, the fact that we starved because we didn't get enough to eat. But it's just, you know, the tongue, serving the tongue and the belly, the rumbling belly. Which is probably not even empty anyway. Right? So, you know, good, proper service attitude and a good example, so important for us. So that that mood of service is there, not serve me, I'm the pujari. Okay, maybe pujari's got to go and do some service and he can take prasadam, you know, as appropriate. But do it subtly. Not push in front of everybody else. It just undermines our preaching. This is the Brahman culture. And that's despised. You know, I'm the Brahmana, step aside. Here I am. I'm the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I eat on his behalf. Feed me. Right? Isn't that right? Prabhupada says the Brahmanas are the mouth. And they eat on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that kind of Brahminical culture actually destroyed the spiritual culture of India. It's arguable that we're superior, because actually the Brahmanas meant to be the servants of the other members of the community. And when they stopped preaching, And you know, those who were influenced and Prabhupada makes this point, those who were influenced and in many ways, some of them, you know, with threatened with death to become Muslims, then they were outcast, and so then the Brahmins wouldn't have anything to do with them. And Prabhupada said, this is a mistake. Those people should have been preached to so that they came back to the culture. Not that, oh, now you're fallen and you can't come back. Right? Because our culture is not based on birth. It's not based on material activities. Because any material activity can actually be counteracted by spiritual activity. Spiritual activity trumps material activity. But we have to learn what that spiritual activity is. Otherwise, material activities can creep into a so-called spiritual culture. That was what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur lamented about his disciples. Said it, right? He said it. He was dissatisfied with his disciples because of that Kanishtha mentality. And that's a trap of devotional service. Utsahamayi, right? Becoming proud of the fact that one's a devotee. I'm a devotee. And so therefore I'm better than everybody else. Okay, we are better than everybody else, but that doesn't mean that we think that we're better than everybody else, if you know what I mean. If that's kind of contradiction. We're better only if we're properly engaged in devotional service and without any motivations for ourselves. But when there's that motivation creeps in, you know, profit, distinction, adoration, some respect, right? I want respect. That's dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. Why is it dangerous? See, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, that's dangerous. Right? But we stop doing those things. Then we get a sense of, you know, making advancement now. Why is that dangerous? Anybody know? Huh? You can fall down, yeah, definitely. But it's hard to detect. It's hard to detect. How do you tell the mind of a devotee? Sukadev, how do you tell the mind of a devotee?
Explain his activities.
Yeah, maybe, but he could be putting on a show. It's better than nothing, certainly. Okay, better than nothing. But there are obstacles in the practice of devotional service and they become more and more subtle. How do you tell? You've been around for a long time. How do you tell?
It's very hard.
Very hard. It's not easy. But you listen. Listen to what they say. The Prabhupada says the most important qualification of anybody is how they speak. So we hear what they say. But then we measure it by what they do. We look at what they do. And see if they match up. So what we say and what we do, very important, as Sheila said. Our example. And what Prabhupada said, you know, he wanted the example of his disciples being perfect ladies and gentlemen. So that's what we want people to experience. Not that we push in front of them, you know, to get to the front of the queue to get the prasadam. That just destroys everything, doesn't it? Because A, it means you're not very smart, because you could have gone to the kitchen and got the prasadam anyway without disturbing. You know, okay, if you want to be fed first, just go and get it. Don't disturb the. Because I get complaints, you know, I get complaints from people, you know, why are the devotees not behaving properly? So we need to, you know, we need to behave properly, very important. Anybody who comes to the temple is here on whose request? Prabhupada. They're Prabhupada's guests. They're Radhabalabha's guests. And who are we? What's our position in all of this? We're Prabhupada's servants. So, you know, if Prabhupada invites somebody to his house, right, for prasadam, and you're Prabhupada's servant, then suddenly you sit down and say, Prabhupada, I'm going to eat now. What's Prabhupada going to say? Get out of here. Go back into the kitchen. You serve first, then eat afterwards. That's the culture. How many of your mothers would cook a meal and then sit down and eat it first? How many? Tell me.
No.
Your mother do that?
No.
No one, no. I go to the Qatar's place for a meal, you know, and they sit around and talk, you know, they fill you up with prasadam and they sit around and talk and I'm thinking, hey, come on, have something to eat. I know you won't eat with me, but at least have something to eat. No, they just talk. And then when you've gone to sleep, right, then they'll eat something. So after the guests are completely satisfied and completely taken care of, then the culture is, then you eat. Isn't it? Isn't that? That's our culture. Okay, if the servers get hungry or whatever beforehand, then let's make an arrangement in some quiet place that will give them prasadam beforehand and they can eat, right? Then they can come and serve. That's what we used to do for the Sunday feast because we're young devotees and we live to eat. Some devotees are like that. They have to, you know, I remember I used to eat every offering. Until I got sick. And then I used to think, how come I can't eat every offering? I used to be able to do it before, but now I can't do it anymore. You know, burfi, rasgulla, sandesh, after Mangalati. It does wonders to your japa. And then, you know, some fruit before class. And so when you go to class, then breakfast. The best is the 9 o'clock. No. That was the best prasadam. The most relishable. Puris and subjis. You know, and all ghee-soaked subjis. But then, you know, 4 o'clock when the alarm would go off. What's going on? So, you know, Korma used to say, canister adi curry. Fill up your canister with prasadam. Or a synonym is tiffin adi curry. Take away plate adi curry. But that's okay, I guess, in a minute. But do it subtly. You know, we don't mind devotees taking away prasadam, but let's feed everybody else first. And then at the end, when everybody's fed, we'll take some away. Not that, oh, I'm going down the temple now to get my supplies for the next few days. Huh? No, because otherwise what will happen is we're taking things for granted. We should never take it for granted. You know, it is a great privilege to serve. It is the most privileged position that you can have anywhere in this creation, basically. To be Prabhupada's servant is no ordinary thing. It's really the biggest privilege, because it'll get us out of this material world. It'll get us out of this very, very horrible situation that we're in. So we should never take it for granted. Or we should try to avoid that creeping into our devotional service, into our own mentality, into the community of the devotees, where we take it for granted. That people should be giving me something. We should always be giving as a sign of appreciation for what actually has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, all right. There's no breakfast this morning. It's probably why I've got a good crowd of devotees here still. Because it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. Program? Yes, we just had it. Now it's time to go on Harinam or book distribution. That's the program. Yeah, no. Probably at 12:30 there will be a push bungling. So devotees can go on Harinam and then come back in time for the Pushpanjali. So 10 to 12, Sankirtan in the city, 12 o'clock, hop on the tram, the number one tram, and you should be back here just in time for the Pushpanjali, and then an opportunity to serve the feast to the guests, not for ourselves. That's it. Now, if you can do that, then have a guess what? You make advancement. Right? These are the great tapasyas of Kali Yuga. Right? This is our tapasya. Big tapasya for Kali Yuga is we have to fast half an hour longer than everybody else. Now, if anybody dies in that time, then we know that there was too much for them. They joined the wrong movement. Or they became too advanced. Okay, Gwadrat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhakti Sinanda Sadhavari Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.